Welcome to Energy Matters, where we explore alternative health in the Pioneer Valley. I'm your host, Caroline Rutterman, and I'm a Reiki professional and intuitive in Northampton, Massachusetts. For the past 9 years, I've been teaching people how to use their intuition and helping them reduce stress and anxiety. Together, we'll talk with other practitioners and learn how they bring health and healing to the Pioneer Valley. Let's do this. Welcome, welcome, everyone. You are listening to Energy Matters. This is Caroline Rutterman. And today, we are interviewing Dan Winter from Toured Harmony. Hi, Dan. How's it going?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So, Dan, tell us a little bit about Toured Harmony, and just tell us who you are and what you do.
So, Toured Harmony, Tai Chi and Qigong is a school in downtown Northampton where we teach Tai Chi and Qigong. I teach there and along with Bill Ryan and Catherine Komodar, who are the owners of the school. And I'm the administrator of the school as well.
Fabulous.
Qigong is basically an umbrella term for a wide range of Chinese health exercises. And they are all based on the idea from traditional Chinese medicine of qi, being the life force energy that runs our body, makes us alive, that flows through all living things, and determines our state of health or illness. So qigong refers to exercises that are designed to strengthen and balance the flow of qi. And qigong is old. It's been around for thousands of years. And somewhere in the last millennium, people started mixing qigong with martial arts, and that's where Tai Chi came from. So Tai Chi has as its three roots qigong, Taoist meditation, and traditional Chinese martial arts. But nowadays, Tai Chi is mainly practiced as a health exercise, just like qigong. So you can think of Tai Chi, the way we teach it anyway, as a complicated form of qigong.
Gotcha. So tell me a little bit, do you have a personal preference between the two in your practice? Do you have a tendency towards one or the other?
I would say at different times I have, but as I've gone along learning, it's really the combination that works really well for me. Like I said, Tai Chi is basically a form of Qigong. The nice thing about Tai Chi is there's such a variety of movement in it. Tai Chi forms are these flowing sequences of movements that rarely repeat. So it puts your body in a number of different positions, which is really great for me. I got into this because I have back pain, and I found that the variety of movement's really good.
Yeah. I saw a video on the Toured Harmony website of you doing some Tai Chi, and there was a moment where you lifted, I think it was the beginning of the sequence, where you lifted your hands so gently and gracefully. It was beautiful to watch. It's a really, really beautiful technique.
And it feels really beautiful to do. So yeah. Maybe not at first. I remember when I first started learning, I felt very awkward. And I think that's sort of a stumbling block for people starting out in it. You know, you might have seen people doing Tai Chi in a park and thought, I don't know if I can move that gracefully. But that's the nice thing about it is it teaches you new ways to move, and that spills over into other activities and daily life.
Yeah. Where does the beauty come in for you? Because you really resonated with that idea of it being a beautiful, how does it resonate in that way for you?
That's an interesting question that I haven't really thought about. I guess, you know, something I like about it is, unlike dance or a lot of other movement forms, Tai Chi is really about how it feels inside, you know? It's not a performance. So if it looks beautiful, that's just a byproduct of, you know, it really feeling like you're flowing inside. So I guess that's where it comes in. You know, when I do Tai Chi and it goes well, I feel like everything is very comfortable and fluid inside of me.
Yeah, there's a lot of beauty in that, you know, in that flow and just being in that rhythm of our own internal state.
Right. And you could say a lot of what Qigong and Tai Chi is about is just becoming familiar with your internal world and noticing where things are not flowing and figuring out how to allow them to flow.
Do you feel that the Tai Chi and Qigong is a spiritual practice for you, or do you tend to feel like it's a little bit, you started touching on the fact that it was really good for your health.
Yeah.
Do you practice it as a, for you personally, is it more of a spiritual practice for you?
That's an interesting question too, because I really got into it with, my focus was on health totally. You know, I had really bad back pain that was making it hard for me to do a lot of things. And I was in my mid-20s, you know? So I was really focused on just getting better health-wise. And when I first started doing Qigong and Tai Chi, you know, there was all this talk about Qi and stuff. And I was like, I don't know. I don't really get that part of it, but it's helping
nonsense.
Me feel better.
Yeah.
And I really focused on the physical aspect of it. But as time has gone on, it's kind of become a deeper and deeper thing for me. So I would say it's touching on the spiritual. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. And, you know, I mean, it's such a spiritual development, or however you want to conceptualize that. It's a vague term in a lot of ways, but you know it, you feel it. It comes out in those forms of beauty, of flow. It's anytime you kind of turn inwards and really are very present in your physical body is how I understand it.
Yeah.
But everybody has a different relationship to that word, spirituality. So
yeah.
I wanted to check in with you about that.
And I guess I'm kind of in flux about mine, but I would say by the definition you just stated, yeah, it's totally a spiritual practice.
Yeah, because there's no religious affiliation, is there? Like, because
it all comes out of Taoism. But Taoism is a religion. But in a different way than, you know, a lot of times when you think of organized religion. And there's also many different branches of Taoism. And from what I understand, I'm not an expert, but some of them look more like what you might think of as organized religion.
Mm.
But the spiritual practices that the Qigong and the stuff we teach comes out of is much more loose. Yeah. And you could think of it as a philosophical, spiritual kind of mix. Yeah.
Getting your toes wet a little bit without having to full on dive into the deep end.
Right. Although you can, you know, it's all Qigong, Tai Chi, they're things that have always coexisted with Taoist meditation. So they're used by monks and hermit meditators who, for them, it was all about spiritual growth.
Cool.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit more about the Toward Harmony Studio. I know that Bill and Catherine were out in Brockton?
In Brookline.
Brookline, okay.
Yeah, right near Boston, yeah. And they had a school there for 14 years, which at its height was one of the biggest, or maybe the biggest, Tai Chi and Qigong schools in the country.
Wow.
And then they eventually wanted to kind of get out of the city and they came out here and open up Toward Harmony, which is a smaller school. We have about 65 students now.
Wow.
Great community of students that I feel really lucky to be a part of.
Yeah. So my office is on the same floor as the Toward Harmony studio. And that's at the 16 Center Street in Northampton. So I often hear, you know, some noises from the hallway and people are chattering, but everybody's so lovely and so kind. And, you know, you really do have a very sweet community of folks that are there. They all seem very happy to see each other and practicing this Tai Chi and Qigong together.
And it's a nice time of day, I think, for everybody. When they're coming to a Qigong class, it's like that's your time that you get to relax and set aside the stresses of the day.
Yeah.
But just to say a little bit more about Bill and Catherine, because I think their experience is a big part of what makes the school so great. They've both been studying for a long time with their teacher, Bruce Francis, who spent a lot of time in China, became a formal disciple of one of the great masters of his generation. So Bruce has been studying and teaching this stuff for over 50 years. Bill's been studying with him for, like, I think 35 or more now.
Wow.
And Catherine for maybe close to 30.
Wow.
So they have a ton of experience teaching, and they both, you know, they have a deep personal practice, personal experience with this stuff. So
That's fabulous. And so the when did Toward Harmony open up around this area?
It was in the end of 2009, beginning of 2010, that winter.
Okay. Yeah. And I saw that you came into the studio around 2010 as a student.
Yeah.
For the back issues that you said.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit more about what was kind of going on or what drew you into this work?
Yeah. You know, I tried a few different things. I'd been to doctors. I'd done physical therapy. I was getting up every morning and doing these, you know, weird crunch exercises and stretches. And it was helping some, but it wasn't really getting me there. And somebody I worked with who was older said, oh, I used to have back pain until I started doing Tai Chi. So, of course,
just
I was
that one comment.
Yeah. And he was a very healthy, active guy for somebody in their 70s. So that inspired me to check it out. And I went to a free demo that Bill and Catherine were doing. And they had us get into a Qigong standing posture and came around and adjusted everybody's position. And just from the little adjustment that I got, I felt, oh, this is something that's missing from the picture. It's a missing piece of the puzzle for me. And I continued to have that experience. So
yeah.
that's what got me hooked.
That's really cool. Just from standing.
Yeah.
Just from one basic correction.
Right. And standing is a big, it's one of the older Qigong practices, standing in various postures. There are hundreds of Taoist standing postures that were used for meditation and Qigong. So that can be a big part of the practice. Standing, you know, in the beginning for short times, but you build up to standing for a longer time and learning how to relax into that posture. And that's a practice which physically is very still, but creates a lot of internal motion of energy.
I have to be honest, I very rarely think about standing. I do it constantly. And I took one of your classes this week, and I have a Reiki practice, and I hold static positions as I'm working around the massage table and as I'm treating people. And I'll tell you, after taking just learning a really few simple techniques about standing from your Tai Chi class, or it was the Qigong class that I had taken, I physically felt so different when I was standing next to my table and next to my client. It was really powerful. Having the knees slightly bent, and you had said something about, you know, ready to bounce off and spring at any moment. And holding that position while you're standing is really powerful. I never thought that just having your knees bent and your hips slightly tilted could create such a power.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And at the time that I started, I actually started with a Qigong practice that involves a lot of standing. And I was having all this back pain, so I never would have thought that standing for a long time would be helpful to me. But from learning the postural alignment of Qigong and the energetic practice, standing became one of the most comfortable positions for me. And I built up to standing for, you know, 45 minutes or even an hour in that posture and feeling more comfortable than in any other position.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So
and unusual for Americans because we sit constantly.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, there's all this talk now about how sitting is killing us. And
sitting is the new cigarettes.
Right. Although I've seen that there are kind of similar figures about people who stand all day on their feet for work. So I think it's, you know, it's really about moving around and having a variety of different positions. But learning good alignment, whether you're sitting or standing, can make a huge difference in the impact on your body and how you feel.
Yeah. So can you break it down for us a little bit? I know you kind of just touched on why standing is important for, you know, our overall health and things like that. Can you tell us a little bit about what an ideal standing position looks like? Or like, can you break it down about the importance of standing? Or
Well, what I would say is
just wrap on that a little bit.
Yeah. And I just wrote a blog. We have a blog. So I just wrote a post about this. So if you want to go to our website, towardharmony.com, and check out the blog, there's an article and a video that goes along with it. And that'll give you a good idea of the basics. But, you know, so Tai Chi, if you think about Tai Chi, you could think of it as a sequence of standing postures. And that's how it was originally taught. You would learn a posture And then when you could stand in that position for a long time comfortably and stay really relaxed, and that's a key, is the whole posture element is about structure, right? And if you have good structure, then your body is open and everything can flow. Mm. And energy, but also blood, lymph, the information flowing through your nervous system. So that's a lot what our postural alignment is about, is lengthening your spine, right? The slight bend of your knees that you were talking about allows flow through the back of your knees, which is the soft part, and that's where the blood flows through, right? The sinking of the pelvis that we talked about and relaxing the muscles around the pelvis, that allows the big arteries that flow down through your legs to move. The lymph nodes, the biggest collection of lymph nodes in your body, is in that area of your pelvis. Mm. So that's basically what we're trying to do, is all the joints in the body will stay a little bent. We never lock a joint or totally straighten.
Why do we not lock the joint or straighten?
Because that will also block the flow of energy.
Because it's a compression?
Yeah. And there's a holding implied in it. The essence of the whole standing practice at first is to let go of any holding in your body. A really interesting thing about Taoist Qigong from the water tradition, right? So our school, we teach from a water tradition approach, which as opposed to a fire tradition, which this is really just about the approach to the practice, right? Fire traditions, you're trying to burn through obstacles, those blockages in your body. You're creating heat, you're burning through them quickly, and that can be very cathartic and have fast results, but it can also exacerbate imbalances that you may have potentially, and it's easy for that energy to get out of control. The water tradition is all about letting go and flowing with gravity and wearing down obstacles over time, like water does. So it's safer, it's gentler. And probably a better choice for anybody who's ill or injured or feels imbalanced in one way or another. You know, those fire practices can be great if you're healthy and strong and under close supervision of a really good teacher. But the water tradition stuff is an easier way into the house. And it also, because it has this such an emphasis on letting go, it really teaches you how to deeply relax your body and your mind and your nervous system in a way that I think it's hard to get to through other pathways.
Yeah. So I want to take a quick break. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Energy Matters. I'm Caroline Rutterman, and we're interviewing Dan Winter of Toward Harmony. We're talking about Tai Chi and Qigong. And we're going to take a quick break, and I want to continue talking a little bit more about the holding and the letting go aspects of these practices of the water tradition, because I think that there's a lot in there.
So, the big idea really is letting go of holding on all levels, right? Our physical body, our energy, our emotions, our mind, and so forth. The Taoist model of a human being goes beyond those levels to the psychic, karmic, all of this sort of higher energies. But Qigong mainly deals with the physical, the energetic, and sort of the lower emotional stuff, right? And then beyond that, you start getting into meditation and Shen Gong, which is Qigong that deals with the spirit. Mm. But the big idea here is letting go of all holding, all contraction, all tension inside of us on any level. And so we were talking about standing, and that gives you a very physical picture of what we're talking about with the idea of standing in a posture and releasing all holding in your physical body. And then you start to go through and release all the energetic blockages in your body. In the beginning, with the water tradition stuff, you're focusing on the downward current of energy. And that's really important because there's this idea that the down creates the up. So by getting that downward current very strong, you will naturally stimulate the rising current of energy in your body. And the downward current is the one that's more associated with healing, with relaxation. And so a lot of, you know, especially I think, in the modern age, right, the digital age, that's what a lot of us need. We need to learn how to relax. At the end of the day, we need to unwind. We build up and accumulate more and more tension from the pace of our lives. So we're always working from the top down in the beginning, from the top of your head down to your feet and into the ground, and releasing all those blockages so that that downward current of energy, which comes from, you know, the cosmos and down into the earth, can flow through us. So the idea of this releasing all holding is just to allow energy to flow.
Pretty simple.
Yeah.
In its own way. Pretty simple.
Simple to say, more difficult to do.
Yeah. One thing I would say, though, about your Qigong class is that it was really easy, and it was easy. And I say this with a little, you know, asterisk behind it, is that because you kind of were like, you know, you guys can't do this wrong, and it's really simple, and you can get more specific with the form, and you can use this as a lifelong practice, but you can't do it wrong here and now.
Right.
And that was something that I was just like, oh, that there's some freedom. You just take all the pressure off me being a perfectionist.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I can get down with this.
We try to do that. And, you know, it's funny because there's a lot of detail in this stuff. And you can go into like these really subtle details. And we, at Toward Harmony, we kind of teach very methodically. We break things down into simple pieces. We build it up into what becomes a complex whole. But then you're always trying to balance these opposites of all that detail work, all that precision and subtlety, and being relaxed, you know? And it's very hard to let go of all that tension and holding when you're like trying to get every minute detail right. So that's why one of our introductory classes that Caroline came to is Dragon and Tiger Qigong. And we teach that as an introductory class because of that fact that you really don't have to do it right. There are some forms of Qigong where the precision is more important in order to get results. But in Dragon and Tiger Qigong, you don't have to do it that well to start feeling the positive effects.
So what is Dragon and Tiger Qigong? Like, what is that practice?
So Dragon and Tiger Qigong is what's known as a meridian Qigong system because it uses the acupuncture channels. So the standing, for instance, that we were talking about earlier, really works right from the beginning. You start going deeper into the deeper layers of the body and the deeper energy channels there. Dragon and Tiger Qigong works with these acupuncture meridians, which are just underneath the surface of your skin. But as you may know, if you've had acupuncture or learned about it, that stimulating those points just underneath your skin can have effects deep inside your body. So Dragon and Tiger is a series of movements where you move your hands over those acupuncture meridians to stimulate the flow of qi through them. But that's wound into this series of movements that's also moving your physical body all around in a bunch of different ways. So it loosens up your joints and works your physical body as well.
Where does the name the dragon and tiger come from? Is it the movements of those animals? Is it kind of the fierceness of those animals, or something else altogether?
Originally, it comes from the dragon and tiger were, before we had yin and yang, the dragon and the tiger were the representations of yin and yang.
Oh, yeah, which one's which?
Chinese culture. I believe the dragon is the yang and the tiger is the yin. At least that's what I've learned. But sometimes with these things, it depends who you ask.
So. Sure. Yeah. So, and the yang energy is what?
So yin and yang are basically just means opposites, right? So you could take any pair of opposites in the world and think of them in that yin and yang structure. And the reason we talk about yin and yang is not to divide the world into opposing forces, right? But to learn how to unite them and to find the balance point.
That's really beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, Taoist practice is really all about balance, you know? And the practice of Qigong teaches you first in a very physical way, like those standing alignments we were talking about, right? There are yang parts, the structure, the lifting, the lengthening your spine, opening the body. And then there's the yin of that relaxation and letting your energy sink. So you're learning how to hold those two opposing, seemingly contradictory forces inside of you. And then from the physical, you can go out into all the realms of life and find parallels with that.
I feel like I'm going to be thinking about these concepts a lot tonight. That's really, there's some meaty stuff in there.
Yeah. So that's one meaning of the dragon and tiger. Another one, though, has to do with the physical systems that it works with. So dragon and tiger qigong, you could think of it as like being a general acupuncture treatment for your overall well-being. A lot of qigong systems are more specific. You know, they're for liver health or they're for this or that. Dragon and tiger kind of gives you a general workover, and you can target it to specific issues. But each movement, there are 7 movements in the set. Each one's done for a number of repetitions, and then you go on to the next one. And each movement kind of works with a different set of acupuncture meridians, and so a different organ system within the body. That's another meaning where I don't want to say the wrong thing, but I think the tiger and the dragon are related to different organ systems within the body.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So it can definitely sounds like it starts getting pretty philosophical at a certain point.
Yeah. Philosophical and, oh, I see, because you were talking about the fierceness of the animals and their movements, right, where it would be a more literal physical thing. But there are those elements, too.
Or not just philosophical, but also the kind of depth of the meridian movement. And, you know, like you said, you were talking about the acupuncture, you know, kind of stimulating those acupuncture meridian points and things like that. So, I feel like I didn't realize how in depth it goes.
Right. Yeah. It's simple in the beginning to learn, but then it just kind of gets deeper and deeper.
Yeah. And so you guys have a lot of more advanced trainings as well. Cause I took one of the introductory classes, on Wednesday evening. You guys are just getting started with a new series of introductory Qigong classes right now.
Right. Yeah. So we break our classes up into 7-week sections. So that's a 7-week introductory class. Right now we're in the middle of our 2-week joining period. So
what's the 2-week joining period? Oh,
to class.
Join in.
Yeah, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Right, yeah. So there's still another week to do that.
You can still sign up, you guys, if you're interested.
Towardharmony.com, and you can also come and try a free class if you'd like next week. Wednesday at 5:45 p.m. or Friday at 12:15 p.m.
Okay. Awesome. And those are also on your website as well.
Yeah, all that information is on the website. Yeah.
Fabulous. towardharmony.com. Great. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Energy Matters on WXOJ 103.3. And we are here chatting with Dan Winter of Toward Harmony. We're talking about Qigong and Tai Chi. And so let's switch gears a little bit. We've talked a little bit about what Tai Chi is, what Qigong is. Can we talk a little bit more about what Tai Chi is?
Yeah. So, like I mentioned earlier, Tai Chi comes from 3 roots, which are Qigong, Taoist meditation, and traditional Chinese martial arts or Kung Fu. So that happened sometime in the last millennium, depending, again, on which historical sources you look at. Tai Chi was originally a secret martial art, as I think they all were back in the day in China. If your village had a good martial art, you didn't really want to go around teaching all the other villages, right?
Yeah. Everybody wants to be the best.
Right. So, but it came from this bringing the circular movements and the relaxation and all the energy work of Qigong into martial arts. So what developed is a form of martial arts that requires you to be very relaxed and to use the energy flows in your body. So when you're learning Tai Chi, there's a big emphasis, obviously, on that learning relaxation, circular movement, and you learn it through a form, right? So this sequence of flowing movements, which all were originally very long, like 100 movements, and they take 20, 25 minutes to do at a normal pace. You could slow it down and do it much slower. And, you know, there are similar exercises in karate classes and stuff, you learn a form. And then along with that, if you were to use Tai Chi as a martial art, you'd learn sparring, you'd learn partner exercises. But these days, most people just practice the form if they're just looking for health benefits or to do it as a meditation, because that's all you really need. You know, that will give you the health benefits.
Is it called the same thing as a martial art? Like if you found a class and it was a very unique studio that did more of the sparring type, would it be called Tai Chi still?
Yes. And the full name of Tai Chi is Tai Chi Chuan. And nowadays, a lot of times the Chuan is left off, and the Chuan is the part that means fist. So Tai Chi is often translated as grand ultimate fist or grand ultimate boxing.
That's a great translation, I just have to say.
Right. It's a little enigmatic, maybe. But you won't always see, people don't always make that distinction in what they're calling it. So, and there are people around teaching Tai Chi as a martial art too, if that's what you're interested in.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. So they're kind of, the Tai Chi is done through these forms, and you guys teach the mini form as well as the short form at the studio.
So yeah. As time went on and Tai Chi went from being a secret martial art to, being taught more publicly, then people started coming up with these abbreviated forms, which are short forms. And so that started happening maybe 100 years ago. And that's mostly what people are learning these days. So we teach a short form. But then for our introductory Tai Chi class, even that's kind of a lot of movement to learn right off the bat. So we've taken the first third of our short form. We call that the mini form. So we teach that over this 14-week introductory series. And that contains a lot of the sort of fundamental movement patterns that you find throughout the Tai Chi form. So you can learn it and you can practice it on its own, and you'll still get a lot of health benefit out of that. The forms are designed so that they start off with simpler movements and then work up to more complexity and more challenging positions. So that first third is really kind of priming your body for what's to come.
So do people tend to gravitate towards Tai Chi versus Qigong? Who tends to go into Tai Chi and who tends to go into Qigong?
Yeah. You know,
does somebody walk through the door and you're like, Qigong, Tai Chi, you're a Tai Chi?
No, not really. You know, either one's a fine starting place. You're learning a lot of the same stuff, at least with us. You know, you're going to be learning a lot of the same kind of fundamental movement and postural stuff like we've been talking about. Tai Chi, there's a lot more physical choreography to learn. So that's going to be the focus in the beginning, more so than in the Dragon and Tiger Qigong. We can kind of get right into feeling your Chi and learning how to work with it more quickly.
That's the stuff that I like.
Yeah.
Yeah, just feeling your energy, feeling that Chi moving.
The Tai Chi movements are designed to create certain energetic flows in your body. So that's going to be happening, but maybe not so much in a conscious way unless you're already coming from a background or have that orientation. Yeah. So another consideration is, you know, do you want to learn a bunch of complicated choreography? Because if you don't, you'd probably be better off starting with a simpler Qigong form like Dragon and Tiger. But if that's something that really stimulates your mind and you love learning new movements, then you'd probably want to go with the Tai Chi.
I feel like somebody who has a dance background might fall right into a Tai Chi type style of learning, because it's it's a different type of memorization, that physical movement.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Dance people have that ability to kind of watch something and learn the movements. But then it's also so different from dance. So it's interesting to see the way that it's challenging for dancers. Mm. And I think a lot of them really enjoy learning a different way of moving. And I actually met a dance teacher and head of a dance company who's out of Connecticut, I think, who also practices Qigong. And she said that, you know, her Qigong really informs her dance performance and choreography. So.
Mm. That's how does it inform the dance and the Qigong and the Tai Chi, how is that, what does that look like?
You mean in terms of her dancing or just dance people coming in and doing this stuff?
Either or, however you kind of understand that question.
Well, the big thing, I think, is that, like I said earlier, you know, Tai Chi, Qigong, they're not about a performance, right? It's not about what it looks like from the outside, although it might end up looking nice. it's about what's happening inside. And if you're a dancer, you've spent, you know, it's not that dancers don't think about what it feels like inside, but you are always kind of working towards a performance or something that's more external. So there's actually one of our students was a dance teacher for a long time. She's retired now. And it's been really interesting having these conversations with her, partly because she said she always did take that approach to dance, that she was always very conscious of what was going on internally. But still, from her dance training, there are things that are, you know, she's had to unlearn to learn Tai Chi and Qigong.
That's really neat. That's really cool. So let me see what I wanted to check in with you about. So I wanted to get back a little bit to something that you have kind of mentioned a bit before about checking in with your internal energy, feeling that internal movement. Why do we do this? Mm. I mean, from your understanding, why do we need to check in with our internal energy?
Well, starting from that foundational idea that the state of our energy is the state of our health, right? And it's not just about health, because if you want to talk about it from the spiritual perspective, people who practice Qigong for spiritual reasons, they're trying to get their energy flowing and their system open so that they can perceive higher energies, right? So that they can be also more in balance and flow with the change that's happening in the universe, flow with life. From a, you know, Taoist perspective, that's what you're heading towards, right? It's sort of being completely in flow with the Tao. And that applies for us everyday people as well, I think, because we want to be open to what's happening around us and inside us, right? In terms of connecting with people, being in relationships with people you care about. If you're not open, if you're shut down inside, then that doesn't go very well. So
it can be a little challenging if you shut down inside, for sure.
Right. And we all have places where we are blocked. We all have, you know, these things, and it just happens through life. I think it's a matter of checking in, being aware of what's happening inside of you. And then Qigong gives you tools to help to address where you may find yourself getting stuck. So those are reasons to do it. Yeah, and then the health thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, staying alive and staying mobile. And
having your back stay loose and able to walk around this planet.
I think a reason that it's important for a lot of us is, you know, you can do all sorts of exercise that keeps you fit. And that's great. I'm not knocking it. I do it. You know, I swim, I ride my bike. But that doesn't necessarily give me that same results as doing Qigong. And I think it's something that's kind of neglected for a lot of people, because you can be very fit but not necessarily healthy. And you can be very fit but also very, very tense. Mm. And Qigong's very different from exercise. You know, we kind of sometimes talk about it as exercises, and it will help you to be more fit. Like if you're trying to get in shape, Qigong's going to help. It'll help balance your body physically and all that.
I really liked what you were talking about before we went on break, when you said that, you know, you can be really strong and still really tight and tense.
Yeah.
And I know that something about what you guys teach is that 70% principle.
Right.
And I'd love to hear a little bit more about how you understand, as an athlete yourself, as somebody who swims and bikes around, how that 70% principle fits into regular movement.
Right. So the 70% principle just means that you are training to 70% of your capacity at all times. So this is a Qigong principle. It's part of the water tradition thing, right? The water tradition approach. And there's a number of reasons why we do that. One, but perhaps the most relevant here to this conversation is that it allows you to train relaxation, right? So you're learning Qigong, Dragon and Tiger Qigong, or Tai Chi, or standing, any of these things we've talked about. As you go through those movements, if you're trying 100 or 120% as you do that, as we've, I think, all been trained, right, in a lot of other exercise modalities, sports, any type of performance, school, whatever, we're encouraged to give it all we've got.
100%.
Yeah. And in this case, you're trying to learn this sequence of movements in a very relaxed way. You want to train relaxation into the movement patterns. So like we talk about learning movements and you have your muscle memory of your body's memory of the movements. You want it to remember those movements in a relaxed way, using the least muscular effort possible so that they become very efficient. They conserve energy and they allow energy to flow because tension blocks the flow of energy, right?
Right.
Anywhere that we're tight or contracted is going to block that flow. So by training at 70% of your capacity, that allows you to do the movements in a way that's really relaxed. You're sort of in a more comfortable zone. And if you always override that, you may end up training the movements in a tense way. Then that's what your body remembers. And when you go to practice Tai Chi, you're reinforcing that tension.
So how do you know where 70% is?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's very
subjective.
Where is that? Right.
Yeah.
And the number particularly is not important, right? But we don't want to get too mathly about it. But it's giving you a ballpark that you're staying away from that 100%. And then depending on what state you're in, you know, if you're really sick or you're recovering from an injury or a surgery, 70% might still be too much. You might want to back off to 50% or 20% or even 10% if you're lying in a hospital bed recovering from a surgery, right? But how do you find it? We do an exercise in our classes where we just have people hold their arms out and try to stretch out as far as they can, you know, do the 100% thing. And then just back off to what might feel like more like 70%. And then, but once you're there, kind of notice, do you still feel like you're straining? And if you are, back off a little bit more. Tai Chi and Qigong, a really important part of it is softness. Moving in a way that's soft and allowing your body to be soft. Again, the opposite of what we think of when we think of exercise, right? We're trying to get a hard body for the beach.
Sure. Six pack, abs, you know, the butt.
Right.
Yep.
So in Tai Chi and Qigong, we're trying to go back more towards what our body was like when we were little children. You know, really young children before we learn to copy how our parents are moving. If you look at like little kids, 2-year-olds, they're very soft. They move in this very soft, fluid way, but they still have strength and they have incredible stamina. They have tons of energy. So
Little kids have so much energy.
Right. Yeah. So the ancient Taoists, as they were developing Qigong, they kind of tried to emulate young children in terms of the posture, the standing posture that we're talking about, and the way of moving, and also other animals that are relaxed and powerful like tigers. So, you know, you watch tigers move and they're very fluid and very soft, but they have tremendous power and energy.
That gave me a really good visual about how that, like the big cats move.
Yeah.
Because they do. It's a gentle lift of the paws until it's time to really full force.
Right. Everything is very efficient.
Yeah.
And even when they strike, it's very efficient too. They have that quick burst of energy and they're immediately relaxed again.
That's really, really cool. I like that. And so in your class, you mentioned that not just in Tai Chi, but there's a lot of different types of groups that internationally train with the 70% principle in terms of professional athletics as well.
Yeah, that's something I just heard about, you know, through podcasts and stuff. So I don't know the details of it, but there was somebody talking about like elite Russian wrestlers, Cuban boxers, some of these sort of elite athletes who are at the top of their field, their training regimens, they do a lot of training below that 100% level, you know, and that allows them to train more and more often and avoid getting injuries in the, you know, in training. The last thing you want is to injure yourself training and then be out of a competition. And then, you know, maybe leading up to the competition, they'll do some of that 100% stuff, but they're mostly reserving that, giving it all you got for competition day. And that's an idea that's in this 70% principle as well, that training at 70%, you can still increase your capacity. You know, you don't have to give it all you've got to get better. And as your 70% increases, your 100% is also increasing. So then when something happens out in the world and you really have to give it 100%, it's there, but we don't need to be tapping into that all the time and kind of running down our reserves, you know, which is what happens. If you're always doing 100% in everything you do, you're going to burn out.
Yeah. And I really liked that that phrase that you used of training your relaxation, training relaxation.
Yeah.
Is that what that's how you described it? Yeah. It was like, oh, right. Yeah. We train our strength. We train our minds. But it's also really important to train that yin side a little bit too, that receptivity, that, you know, slower.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like you need to practice that to be able to get into that space, to get your nervous system to calm down, quiet down. And it's taken me years to learn that, you know, when I go to practice Tai Chi or Qigong, often I may be wound up from whatever else I've been doing. And I'll start wanting to go past that 70% and push and stretch harder and work harder. But that's not how you get there. And if I dial it back and allow my whole system to just relax and calm down, then I'm able to get that softness and then expand my range of motion from there. And I think that's one of the things that makes Tai Chi and Qigong really hard to understand until you've experienced it. Because you look at it and it looks like people are doing nothing. But when you really get into that space, that Tai Chi space where your being is calm, then what looks like nothing can actually become much more. So
That's so cool. Well, we're just finishing up here today. So if you're tuning in now, you're listening to Energy Matters, and we. So Dan, tell us where people can come find you.
Yes. So our website is www.towardharmony.com, and that's toward TOWARD harmony, because harmony is the goal, but we're about the journey, right?
Yes.
We're at 16 Center Street. In downtown Northampton. It's suite number 527.
It's the fifth floor.
Yep. And our classes, so we're in the middle of this 2-week joining period. You can go to our website now and sign up for a 7-week introductory course. Or if you want to try it first, you can come this Wednesday, November 7th at 5:45 p.m. or this Friday, November 9th at 12:15 p.m. and try out the Introduction to Dragon and Tiger class.
And it's good, people. If you are looking for something new to try this winter as we kind of are creeping through fall and heading into the winter, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. And Dan, I have to say that you're an amazing teacher, because it was really fun to watch you in a group of people and everybody's, you know, learning and on their first day. And it was really, really cool to watch you, you know, clearly explain things, allow people to kind of experiment and do things wrong. And you just, I think you're a spectacular teacher.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for having me on the show.
Yes, absolutely. Have a great rest of your evening and weekend. Take care.